Thank you, Sam and musicians. I had to take my mask off a few minutes earlier to oxygenate my brain. Who finds that? In the mask, you start to feel a little bit dopey. And it's so good to get some fresh air. Let's take our Bible, shall we, and turn to Mark chapter 4 this evening. We're going to start there in Mark chapter 4. And the title of the message this evening is, Who is Your Master? Or, Who is Your Master? You can look at it two ways, depending on where you want to put the emphasis there, because where you put the emphasis changes the meaning slightly. So we want to look at that this evening. Who is your master? So I want to read just a little passage here from Mark chapter 4, and beginning at verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's just pray before we begin this evening, shall we, and commit this time to the Lord. Lord, we come before you and just humble our hearts before you this evening and ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would teach and instruct. Your word would be a blessing to our hearts. The fact that you are our master would be presented clearly, Lord God, and that we might be able to look afresh on these things and be encouraged and strengthened. Help us, Lord God, to be able to concentrate on these things now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament and also in the Old Testament as well. And in this story here of the Master of the Sea and his Peace Be Still, we see a few of those titles given to the Master. We see right through the New Testament, we see Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Lord, Rabbi, Master. And Jesus often himself referred to himself as a Master. And as we look in this book of Mark here, this story here, Jesus is referred to by his disciples as they're quaking in their sandals in the storm as Master. Now, this English word here, we read over it and we see it used quite often. But interestingly enough, there are different words used every time we see that word Master or Lord or Rabbi. And this evening, that's what we're just going to have a quick little look at this evening. What are these different words in the Greek, and what do they mean, and how do they explain to us who our Master really is? We see in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Here's this first use of the word we're going to look at, and the first use of the word here is used by these disciples here, and they initially call him teacher, master. Didaskalos is the Greek word. In fact, there are six Greek words that we're going to look at this evening, each with a slightly different meaning. This one here is used in this passage by the disciples, and I've started with this passage for a reason, because this word didaskalos changes their idea of who the Lord really is. This word didaskalos basically means just teacher. And we'll look at it, this word, in a little bit more detail a little bit later on. But I wonder, as they see Jesus perform this miracle on the sea to calm the sea, whether Mark or whoever uttered these words would use this word again. Just the word teacher. Because there are other words for master which have a greater meaning and a richer and a fuller meaning that perhaps should and could have been used by his disciples. Because as we go through, we see this word master, or sometimes the word rabbi, is used by the disciples and his followers. And sometimes it's used by those who are trying to trick him. But each time, there's a little bit different meaning to the word and how they use it. And we can see it here as master or lord or rabbi sometimes. And I just want you to understand this evening that every time this word is used, there's a little bit of difference perhaps in the situation and what's happening here. It's interesting also to note here that it says here in verse 40, he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Why are you dreading this? They were shaking in their boots. But then later on in verse 41, it says they feared exceedingly, which is a different word in the Greek, because that means they were in awe and reverence of what Jesus had actually done. They had figured out something about Jesus. And I just wanted to start here by saying, here the disciples, before Jesus performed this mighty miracle, had a different view of who he was and perhaps didn't quite understand who he was exactly, because their ideas later changed after seeing him perform this mighty miracle. Just as they were shaking in their boots in fear, in dread, their fear changed to awe and reverence, just understanding what manner of man is this. So I wonder this evening what you or I understand by this word master. All right, I said there's six Greek words in the New Testament that we're going to look at for master, lord, rabbi, and we're going to look at each of those and see what each of these means, because our English translation doesn't quite cover it. So we'll have a look at it. The first word I want to look at is a word that I've just entitled this first bit, the word master, where it's used as overseer. This word is used of Christ and Christ alone, and it's used six times in the book of Luke as an overseer. It denotes Christ as one that has supreme authority as the overseer. It demonstrates that he and he alone is responsible for all that we need in provision. Okay? And that's the Greek word epistasis, to stand over, to superintend, to hold up. It's used of a commander, a master, an overseer or master that watches over and provides. Sort of a little bit reminds me of Joseph, who was given that job to oversee during that time where there was a drought, and Joseph oversaw the provision for people in the land of Egypt. Okay, he was the overseer, and Jesus, the master overseer, provides many things for us. And I nearly just did this part. I had planned it. I had it all planned out, point, 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 point. And then I did this bit, and I thought, this is going to take a while. I nearly just stopped here and just did this bit, but I've scrunched this one. Is that a technical? Scrunch this one up a little bit so we can get through it a bit quicker. But Jesus is someone who provides. And if we turn to Luke chapter 5 and verse 5, we'll see this word epistasis used here in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5 and see what Jesus provides for us. So I have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things that Jesus provides for us. He being the master, the overseer, the provider. So the first one here is in Luke chapter 5 and verse 5. And we had this story this morning, the story of the draught of fish. And Simon, answering, said unto him in verse 5, Master, here's this Greek word, provider, overseer, master. He didn't use that word didaskalos, just teacher. He uses this word master, provider. He says, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So here, with this great catch for the fishermen, we see Jesus providing what was needed for these fishermen. No doubt, probably they took that back and some of it was for their provision, for their families, for their food. Okay, but more importantly, this was their income. Okay, so Jesus provides us with those things that we need in food, provisions, income. Jesus is the one who's the master, the overseer, the great provider. And we see that with this word here in chapter 5 and verse 5, that he provided for us. Just as he watches over the sparrows, as we're told, and knows their needs, he knows our needs and circumstances as well. He provides for our needs. And we quite often talk about at school the difference between needs and wants. Who can remember me talking about that? Oh, dear me. The difference between needs and wants, and we look at this in economics, that there are things that we need to survive, all right? Food, water, warmth, housing, those things. But there are some things that we just want that make us a little bit more comfortable. Jesus provides our needs. He knows our every need, and his store is at our needs' door. I didn't even think about that. That rhymes. His store is at our needs' door. So if there is something that we need, it's there for us. It's right at the door. Jesus will provide, just as he provided this great draught of fish here. So the question is this evening, I wonder, and it was the question this morning as well, would you let down your net? Would you let down your net? Because Peter could have refused to do it. But he didn't. He said, Master, provider, overseer, I'm going to let down the net on the other side. And this also asks, do you rest in him for this, for your needs? Are there things that you have need of now that you know Jesus can provide? Have you asked him about it? We need to do that. The next one is in Luke chapter 8 and verse 24. We're still looking at this word epistatus, the provider. So he provides our needs, our food, our income. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 24, we find this word used again. And they came to him, and here it is, this story again, but this time it's from Luke. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. Now, this is the same story as we read in Mark, but it's in Luke. But guess what? In Luke, they use a different word. Now, I can't explain that, unless perhaps I did look at Luke was written after Mark, so perhaps Luke decided, I'm not going to use that word. I'm going to use this word because I reckon this word better describes what Jesus is doing for us. Okay? I don't know why there's a different word. If you know, you can let me know and let us all know. Because it's a little, because I looked at it and I thought, that's a bit of a mystery. That in the book of Mark, he uses the word didaktos, teacher. But here it uses this word, Jesus the provider. But here he is, Jesus providing safety and peace. Safety and peace. And perhaps Luke did change the word after he figured this out. I don't know. But I wonder whether an encounter like this would change your view. I think so. I think you would go from thinking that he was just a teacher to, whoa, this is someone who can provide safety and peace. This is someone who can provide for us food and provision and income. Jesus the overseer, Jesus the provider. So how about you? When the stormy times come, do you cry out to the Master and say, Lord, I'm in the storm? You can provide safety and peace. You can lead me through this storm. Could you do that? Show me what I can learn from these things, as Pastor talked about this morning. So even when things look grim, let's make sure that we enable him to give us our peace, this peace, so that our faith is increased. Because right at the start here, the disciples said, you haven't got much faith, you guys. Do you think their faith increased? Yes. Their faith increased. So what about you this evening? Do you rest in him for this, for your provision, for your supply, for your blessing and safety and peace as well? Do you rest in him for this? The next one is further on in this same chapter, in chapter 8. And we're going to start reading at verse 43. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him and before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she had been healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. So here we find that Jesus provides for us, here when he's called Master, this word showing that he's the overseer, the provider, he provides health and healing for us. He provides health and healing. Healing for this woman here who'd been had this disease, this problem for 12 years. She'd spent all the money, gone to see all the professionals. No one could help, but she knew that there was a master who could. That there was a master who was an overseer, a provider, who could provide her with the miracle of healing this problem. She was healed because of her faith. And as it says there in verse 48, she said, Jesus told her to go in peace. So when you've tried everything except the touch of the Master's hand, you really need to turn to him, don't we? Okay, if you've got failing health, turn to him. Turn to him. So do you rest in him for this? The next one, Luke chapter 9, and we'll read verse 33 there. Luke chapter 9 and verse 33, or we'll go back to verse 28, sorry. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make thee tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they encountered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. So this provision here by the Lord Jesus, I've said, a place to worship and praise, a place to learn and hear him. That's what Jesus provides for us. A place, this picture of the transfiguration of Jesus here, the disciples came and they realize once again who Jesus really is. And they learn from the voice, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Jesus provides for us that learning, that place to hear God's word. Is that what you do? Is that how you view the Master, the one that provides this for you? A place like here where you can come and hear God's word. A place where you can worship. A place where you can praise. A regular place to hear him. I hope that's what we view the Master providing for us, and we should praise him for that, that we have this place. So do you rest in him for this? And then Luke chapter 9, still here in Luke chapter 9, on a few verses, and beginning at verse 49, it says here, And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not after us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And this one I've said, this is what Jesus provides here. The Master, the overseer, provides for us power over Satan and his cohorts. He oversees and protects us from Satan's power. And it says also here, he knows his own. He knows when we're in strife. He knows when we need help. So all we need to do is not fear, just to obey, to trust, to resist, and sometimes, when necessary, to flee. Jesus is the master provider of this. Do you rest in him for this? And then finally, as the master provider, let's look at Luke chapter 17. As the master provider, Jesus provides this for us and for all who would take it. Chapter 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there were 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show thyselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Now it's interesting here that Jesus provided for them here mercy above and beyond what was usually shown, because who were these people? They were lepers, the unclean, the outcast. In fact, the fellow that came back, not only was he a leper, but what was he? He was a Samaritan. So if you could be a double outcast, this was him. If you need a double lot of mercy, this guy did. Not only was he a leper, but he was a half-caste, a Samaritan as well. And Jesus provided for him that great mercy. And you know, we're all in the same place. Sin, the leprosy, a picture of sin. We're all lepers before God. We're all not his people. We're all Greek Samaritans. But God provides for us, Jesus the overseer, the master provides for us mercy. And it tells us here that if we go look at verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This mercy that Jesus shows, once again, here it is, providing faith to strengthen us. So, do you rest in the great provider for mercy? Do you praise the great provider for the mercy he has shown to you? So that's the first word. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll look at the second word, and these are a little quicker than that first one. Matthew chapter 23, we find this next word, kathigatos, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And we find that word here in Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 5. We'll look at this. But all their works they do for they to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. And they call of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And no man your father upon the earth, for there is one your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. This word here is only used of Christ, and it's used about three times. And it's used here in verse 8 where it's the word master. Notice the word rabbi is used, and we're going to get to the word rabbi in a little minute. All right. But you can see that there is sort of a little hierarchy of these words, if you understand what I mean. And we'll see how this word rabbi later on, this might be the lower of them, but still a good term to call Jesus. But this one here, kathigatos, means this, the master who is the file leader for those that follow behind. He's the one that leads the way, the guide. The guide, the one that is out the front of the line, leading the way, and everyone is following, a little bit like follow the leader. And you have to do everything the leader does. And here, that's what this word master means, and he says there is only one leader that you need to follow, and that is Jesus himself. Jesus is the master, the leader, the one that's out the front of the line leading the way, and we should fall in line and be following after him. He has that authority as a leader. So, do you follow after him as that file leader? Do you look to him and keep your eye on him as he leads and does what he does? Because that's my idea of follow the leader of the game, isn't it? You just don't follow where he goes, but you do what they do as well, true? Do you do that with the Lord Jesus? Is he your master? Is he your guide? Does he lead you? The next one I want to look at here is this word. Well, this file leader also, I sort of called it, he's the rabbi of rabbis, if you understand what I'm... He leads the rabbis. He leads the teachers. He's the one that's out the front, the number one honcho. Okay, that's what Jesus is. And is he that for you? Do you rest in him for that? The next one is that word that was used back in Mark, didaskalos. And it means the one who is initiated, trained and approved in the things of God, who can lead us into the secrets and blessings that God's word holds. He's the instructor. He's the one who leads us to something. He instructs us, he acquaints us with, he draws us higher in our understanding of things. That's what teachers are supposed to do. Lead those who don't understand to an understanding. Okay, and that's what Jesus was called there initially by the disciples, just, sadly, teacher. But who else called him that? Let's have a look in John chapter 3. There was someone that called him this. John chapter 3. We find here in John chapter 3 the story of "For God so loved the world." And Nicodemus. What did Nicodemus call Jesus? Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a rabbi, teacher, scholar, lawyer, rich man. Very interesting character, Nicodemus. But here he is in John chapter 3, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." So here we find this man calling Jesus, first of all, rabbi, but then he calls him teacher as well. Two different words. And this word here, teacher, master, is this word that is didaskalos, a doctor, an instructor. He, one that is worthy to be heard. And one that is worthy to be heard because he's opening your understanding to things. And that's what Jesus will do as your master if you allow him. He will open your understanding so that you can proceed further on up the tree of faith and learning. So is Jesus to you your didaskalos, your master, your teacher, the one that will open your understanding? Do you allow him to do that? Or is there too much of the world there for anything like that to get through? So here's the one that has been put above every other teacher. Do you rest in him for this? The next word, up to number 4, is found in Luke chapter 19, if we turn there. Luke chapter 19. And that is the Greek word, kurios. Now you might think, I've heard that word before. He plays tennis for Australia. Well, his name must mean this. And basically it means supremacy. All right? It basically means supremacy. But in a certain way. Because there's another couple of words after this. When we get to number 6, that's the top of the pecking order. But this one is the word kurios. And in Luke chapter 19, we'll find this word being used a couple of times, and it helps us just to understand it here. Luke chapter 19 and verse 16. Chapter 19, verse 16. All right. Here's the story of the talents. And we've got to remember the Lord who is giving out the talents is a picture of who? Jesus. And it says here in this verse, in verse 16, then came the first saying unto him, "Lord, kurios, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now, who were these people that came to him? They were his servants. They were his servants. They were his slaves. He owned them. And basically, that's what this word means. It means the owner. Is Jesus your kurios, your supreme owner? If you go further down in this chapter, down to verse 33, the same word is used down here. As they were loosing the colt, the the owners therefore said unto them, why loose ye the colt? Here were the curioses of the colt. They owned the colt. It was their possession. And when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he has that authority and that ownership over each and every one of us, doesn't he? It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. Someone owns you. And that is the Master, the Kurios, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you to redeem you from the slave market of sin so that you could be his prized possession, the apple of his eye. He gave his very life to redeem us. Therefore, he deserves our service as slaves to him as he leads us. Let's have another look at this word, kurios, into Philippians. Let's go to the book of Philippians. Doing a fair bit of looking this evening because we're looking at words. I like words. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Oh, this is God's given him the authority. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that everyone should confess that Jesus is Kurios, is Lord, the owner, the one who paid the price to the glory of God the Father. Is he your Kurios? Is he your owner? Is he your Lord this evening? Because only Christ within can produce, a Christ-possessed heart means a Christ-reflected life. If Christ possesses your life, you can reflect your owner. So, do you rest in him for this one? Is it something you can praise him for? The next one is that word rabbi. And sadly, it's the lowest on the pecking order. And I'll show you the reason why I've put it as the lowest on the pecking order. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. I don't know whether Jesus really liked being called this because it was the lowest of the pecking order. He probably would have preferred some of the other ones, but this one's an interesting one. Rabbi means honourable sir, teacher or instructor. And here it's used twice by somebody, and we'll just have a quick look at that. Chapter 26, verses 25. We'll look at that first. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, Rabbi, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. then, in verse 49, Judas, in the act of betraying, also says here, "And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master," or Rabbi, "and kissed him." It's a sad thing I found out about what Judas said here, because this is the only title that Judas ever gave Christ. Nothing else. He called him Rabbi. He didn't call him any of the other names of Master. This is it. Why? Because he couldn't do any of the others. Because he only looked on Jesus as some honourable sir, some teacher, some instructor. Judas didn't give him the title of Kurios, didn't give him the title of the great provider, didn't give him the next one, which we'll look at in a minute. This was the only one that Judas could give him. Why? Because that's all Judas viewed him as. And sadly, a lot of people today, that's how they view Jesus Christ. As some teacher, he had some good things to say, some wise things to say. He was a bit of a, some people call him a prophet. But was he these other things? No. So here, the word rabbi is used. And as I said, sadly, there are many Judas in the world today. I think we would know better, but we wouldn't view Jesus as just that, but we would look at Jesus, our Master, as these other things all put together. So only Christ within can produce Christ without, and Judas sadly didn't have that, did he? He didn't have that. He didn't possess the Christ like others did. So I hope this evening that you view Christ a little bit better than Judas did. The final one, and this one is a word that means absolute authority. If we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 20 and 21. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Now this word here, I sort of put this up here, it's where we get our word despot from, despotus. And it means the absolute ruler. No one else measures up to them. No one else can measure up to them. They have absolute authority and absolute rule. Is that how you view the Lord Jesus Christ? It sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? But it really is what he deserves. It really is who he is. He's the absolute ruler. He has absolute authority. And we need to recognize him as that. Because if we don't recognize him as that, this verse tells us what? We're not fit for his use. We don't recognize him as that absolute authority, that absolute rule, that despot, then we're useless in the Master's hands. Judas couldn't say this one, could he? He wouldn't have been able to use this one. He could only use Rabbi. Can you use this one tonight? Can you say, "Master Jesus, you are my absolute authority. You are my absolute ruler." Are you there yet? Have you been able to do that? Let's turn on to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We keep thinking about this, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord, the despot, the absolute authority that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So if you can't say to Jesus, you are my absolute authority, you want to be careful. Judas found this, didn't he? He couldn't call him that. Where did he end up? The end of a rope. So let's be careful. The Lord that bought them, the absolute ruler who owns us. Nothing in life is right until Christ has the place of sovereignty and authority in our hearts. There's nothing going to work. You can't work for the master unless he has that authority in your life. Does he have that absolute authority in your life? And do you rest in the master's provision for this? So who is he? What manner of man is this? You think the disciples started to figure this out? I'm sure they did. Jesus, the Master, the absolute Lord who watches over us, who leads us, who instructs us, who purchases us with his blood and loves to teach us about himself and the Father. Do you rest in him for these things this evening?